is what's going to speak over the whole passage. And of course, this is where the confession of Jonah is. If there was no confession of the God that Jonah served, these sailors never would have turned to God. And so, to simplify, I have 3 points for this sermon. Point number one is God's pursuit of mercy. He chases down Jonah. The middle point, point number two, the important point, is the revelation of God, where we see God in his fullness. And point number three is the response to God, the God of mercy. And so the first part is God's pursuit of mercy. So we know from the last sermon I preached that Jonah ran from God. And so now we get the response in verse 4. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. Now, I should mention that these sailors, or mariners, whatever you want to call them, were very seasoned and experienced sailors. They would have known a storm. And so for them to see and recognize, to cry out to God, as they knew something divine had just happened. This is a God-shaped storm. And so they react to it. They're throwing things off the boat, which would make it so that if the boat hit the shore, it would land on the shore. They're freaking out. But then there's an interesting point that happens. It says, but Jonah. A better translation would say, meanwhile. So meanwhile, these people are crying out to their gods, throwing things off the boat. It says, but Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, and he'd laid down, and he was fast asleep. Jonah here is depicted as ignorant of what God is chasing him. The mariners see that something divine is happening, but Jonah doesn't realize this storm is focused on him. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. And remember, the call of Jonah from God was arise, go to Nineveh. Now, this captain, this pagan captain, the same people that Jonah would have been running from, says, arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. What I want you to notice as I work through this is there's a switch of characters. The people that come to God are the sailors. God reveals himself to them. So there's this progression of what the sailors are doing. And that starts in verse 7. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account the evil has come upon us. Well, it's kind of strange for them to cast lots. In the Israelite culture, it was actually considered a righteous act to cast lots, because by throwing the dice, you were depending on God to choose what was going to happen. And so they cast the lots, and sure enough, the lot fell on Jonah. God reveals to them that it is Jonah. So they said to him, tell us, on whose account this evil has come upon us. And then they follow up with a series of 4 questions. Now, the point of these 4 questions is what they're all leading to is a question of Jonah's God. Because they're not wondering just about Jonah. They're wondering about what kind of God could cause this storm. And so they ask, what is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? So to ask what people he is would be tied to his God. In the ancient world, you were always connected to your God by your people group. And then we get to our second point, the middle, the important, most important part of it all. This is the revelation of God. This is the first time Jonah speaks, the first time he says anything at all. In verse 9, he says to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This word that Jonah speaks is the reason these sailors turn to know God. Because they already seen God. They saw the storm. They knew God must have done this. And now they have a face to the name. They know that this is the God that turned him. And so we learn that storms, in a sense, life storms, natural storms, are designed to turn us towards God. Several years ago, my brother experienced a storm like this. Not the brother from the last sermon. I have many brothers. Another brother had experienced a storm that brought him to God. They were on a snowmobiling trip, him and my cousin. They went quite often. They were experienced snowmobilers, and this trip, my cousin got into an accident. He was snowmobiling, and he hit a tree, and then he flew off the snowmobile and hit another tree. My brother found him laying in the snow, and he told my brother right away, "My leg is broken." And my brother, in a panic, because they had no satellite phone, they're the only ones there, they're in this remote mountain place, no service, is left with two options. Either stay with him and make camp and wait for someone to miraculously show up, or he needed to go find someone. So he prayed, "God, please work this out." So he left to the parking lot. This is like 12 in the afternoon, so no one would really be at the parking lot, but he needed to find some people. And sure enough, no one's at the parking lot. So he heads back on the trail to find some more snowmobilers, and sure enough, he finds a group. And one of the people has a satellite phone. So they go back to my cousin, they send out an SOS, and Stars comes, and they fly right over top, and then they send a message saying, "We can't land here because it would trigger an avalanche." So then another couple of decisions. Either set up camp, wait for search and rescue in the morning, or make a stretcher out of branches and head to the road. So they make this stretcher out of branches. That's their decision. But it needed to fit on the snowmobile, and it just so happened that day, my brother had knocked the light off of his snowmobile on the trip, which made the stretcher fit perfect on the snowmobile. So they head back. At this point, it's like 12 at night, well into the night. They get to the helicopter. It's 2 in the morning. Helicopter flies off to Prince George. And sure enough, he had broke his femur. And it had broken so bad that the bones had gone side by side a little bit. And there's several things about this story that are just crazy. As I said, this was the moment my brother came to know God, because he had to depend on God. If God didn't show up, he would not have found someone with a satellite phone. That stretcher would not have fit on the snowmobile. My cousin would have gone into shock. He had a broken femur. The bone could have punctured an artery. He could have died. He could have got hypothermia. There's all sorts of reasons, but God. This was a God-shaped storm. I wonder what kind of God-shaped storms God has put in your life, or maybe that you're going through now. The thing is that hindsight is always the best sight, because now look at the story, we see what God did. But in that time, it was not so fun. But God showed up in the storm to reveal himself and get a hold of my brother's hurt. And that's where we get to the response to God, the third point. And that's in verse 10. It says, then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to them, what is this you have done to run from the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land? Why would you do that? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he told them. So if it's not clear already, Jonah told them that I'm running from God. And we're supposed to sense a little bit of humor in Jonah. Just a little bit of humor. But despite that, this is a really interesting part. So they know Jonah. They know Jonah ran away from God. But even still, in verse 11, they're going to ask Jonah, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And it's ironic that they would ask Jonah because he is the same flawed person that ran from God. And I want to make an important point about that. This story is not made to make us focus on Jonah. Yes, Jonah's a main character, but we are made to focus on God. God is the one who sent the storm. And so we get to Jonah's solution. He said to them, pick me up, hurl me into the sea, then the sea will be quiet for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. So that's quite a solution. Throw me into the sea. Seems a little bit ignorant of what's going on just to leave them there. And again, if it isn't clear already, we're supposed to focus on God here. What the sailors want is to know how to worship this God. And this is Jonah's solution with a splash of humor, no pun intended. And I want us to also see the other side of this. So as much as it's funny, Jonah offers himself in the place of the sailors. Jonah offers to face the storm of God's wrath so that the sailors wouldn't have to. That's the same sort of thing Jesus did on the cross. He faced God's wrath so that we could receive mercy and grace. It is a God-shaped mercy. And the reason it's important to also see that perspective is how the sailors respond. So I mentioned the chiastic structure. Jonah was sleeping, ignorant of God's will, hiding. And now these sailors seem to do something similar in verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. They didn't want much to do with this mercy either. It's something that maybe we don't understand, but God is the main character. He is the one revealing himself. And so they come to that point of realization. Verse 14, they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. It's interesting because this sort of phrasing is what Pilate will say before the crucifixion. He'll wash his hands before the crowd and say, this innocent blood is not on my hands. And after this, they say this, they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea. And sure enough, the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. I mentioned the progression of these sailors. In the Israelite culture, what the law was all about was sacrifice and vows. So these sailors are fully turned to the God of Israel, despite Jonah. Jonah ran from the mercy God had on people like this. Yet God still turned these people. If you make notes in your Bible, you should make a note at, I think it's verse 6 and verse 16. The sailors go from crying out to their gods, throwing things overboard, to being afraid of the God of heaven. A complete turn. And the reason that they turn is because of Jonah's confession. They know this is the one true God. So they turn to him. So to summarize, the first point, God's pursuit of mercy is he chased down Jonah. And as the readers, we have the advantage of knowing Jonah gets swallowed by a whale, whatever that means, and he goes and ends up in Nineveh, and so there's mercy on Jonah. But then also these sailors, God chases after Jonah with the storm. And then we get to the center, the confession. The God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. This is God. And he's merciful. He's coming after you. And then we get to the response. We've heard of this God. We know who he is. The sailors respond. Let not this innocent blood be on us. They make sacrifice, they vow vows, they turn fully to God. You know, I mentioned in the middle of the sermon intentionally that storms are not just natural. And I think as we read this and hear this, we also think of life's storms. We think of what we've been through. We think of the nasty things we've had to endure that have ended up to shape us who we are today. I can't help but think that in all of that, God is sovereign, that he's coming after you because he wants you. He wants abundant life for you. So let me encourage you with that today. That whatever storm that maybe you're in, that you've faced before, God wants you. He wants your heart. Let's pray. God, thank you that you indeed are the God of the storm. And while we may not understand why right now or what's going on, that you have somehow worked your purpose into everything and that you want us. So God, have mercy. Have mercy on us. Show us who you are, your fullness, that we may experience change and peace beyond measure. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today is also Communion Sunday. So if you're new with us, communion is a symbol that Jesus gave to us to remind us of his death. The bread symbolizes his body broken for us. The blood is what he shed for us. The drink is the blood that he shed for us. And so by taking these symbols, we're partaking in who he is. And there's four reasons our denomination believes we take communion. One is to remember what he did. Two is to participate in what he did. 3 is to partake with the body of Christ together. And the 4th is to anticipate his return. The reason I share those 4 is because, you know, we get wrapped up in just the remembering or the events back then, but we are also partaking in his body. We're becoming one with him. And so if you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, we partake of this as a family. And if you have not received him as your Savior, we just ask that you kindly let the elements pass you by. I'd like to invite the music team forward and the elders to serve communion as we prepare.